Okay, here we go. Time once again on the Breakfast Club for our Monday morning get together with Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur is kind enough to join us every Monday, and we talk about different recipes, food all over the world. And before we start, Arthur, I want to tell you, you mentioned good health to me last week. And I tell you, your listeners are the most actively involved people I received. Many emails wishing me well, and your listeners are amazingly active when it comes to contacting me, and I thank them all for
Oh,
their well wishes.
thank you for telling me that. More interactive than the bird call people.
Absolutely, it's they're the most interactive people with me. It amazes me every time, and I respond to everybody every time. So they're amazing people.
Well, that's great. To be, you know what? We're all a bunch of yentas. We food people. We like to sit around eating yenta. I'm going to do that today, actually, with my next door neighbor. And we have a lot to yent about. There's some stuff going on in the building. In any case, you know, it's the morning. So lately, in the morning, I actually look forward to breakfast lately because I've been eating cottage cheese. I rediscovered cottage cheese. And apparently, I'm not the only one, because poking around on the internet, I'm finding that cottage cheese is actually sort of a trendy thing. Who knew? I have been eating cottage cheese, of course, since I was an infant. One of my mother's favorite foods to give us, even before we had teeth, was pastina with cottage cheese and a little butter. And I still eat cottage cheese with a kind of pasta, but I don't eat. Actually, pastina was apparently just taken off the market. I mean, there's no more pastina out there. You've got to buy stelline, which is little stars. And anyway, so I grew up eating cottage cheese. I even remember, this is a not necessarily positive memory, but one of the first things I cooked on my own was deviled eggs, except that they weren't deviled eggs. They were hard-boiled eggs, and you mashed up the yolk with cottage cheese. This could well have been some diet recipe, because it is a diet recipe. And you spike the cottage cheese and egg yolk with paprika, and maybe you sprinkle some. I would do it differently today, but it's still, you know, a worthwhile pursuit, deviled eggs with cottage cheese instead of mayonnaise, because it can be very creamy. So now that I've said that, I did a little survey in the last couple days. Everybody has their favorite cottage. Mine at the moment is Axelrod large curd. Because it is large curds. I should explain what cottage cheese is in general. And it has a lot of creaminess between the curds. It reminds me of the pot cheese we used to have many years ago, and you bought at an appetizing store. Remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about delicatessens versus appetizing stores?
Yep.
One of the things you went to the appetizing store, which had dairy products, as well as smoked and fish, was pot cheese. Also, I have to say, a butter we called tub butter at the time, but I learned now that tub butter, when I was a kid, actually was whey butter. It was butter, it was fat, extracted, so to speak, from whey, which was the result of making cottage cheese. Cottage cheese is curds and whey, except not so much whey. They add milk or cream to the curds. So the whey cottage cheese is made, and originally it must have been something that people made at home, hence cottage cheese. And in Eastern Europe, it seems to me like it's probably a myth, but everybody supposedly had a cow or a few goats, and they kept in their backyard. And that's why we have so much dairy product in Eastern European Jewish cooking. In any case, You add to milk, full fat milk. You add a coagulant. Now, this can be very these days various vegetable coagulants, and in a kosher home, I'm not sure exactly what they're using, but there are vegetarian coagulants you could put in milk. Rennet, which is extracted from the lining of an unborn calf, is actually not, in some very Orthodox communities, not accepted because it would be mixing meat, milk. So there are alternatives to that. I understand you can even use vinegar. I've never done it myself, but you can coagulate the, when I say coagulate, when you add these agents to milk, warm milk, the protein, the proteins, plural, in the milk become solid and not, I guess the right word, I'm not sure what the right word would be, but suspended in the milk. And along with that comes some fat, because milk does have fat. And then what's left, so then you have this cake of curd. And if you cut it up, which you must, unless you're doing something like making a big wheel of cheese, in which case you pour it into a mold. But if you're making a fresh cheese, like cottage cheese, the logs of goat cheese, farmer cheese, cheese that they use to make a poutine, which is the Canadian fried potatoes with gravy and curds. So these curds are all, can be broken small, can be broken large, depends on the actual comb, they call it a comb, that you use to cut up the curd. There are a lot of different factors in making the end result. And different makers do different things. Hence, from brand to brand, and I bought many different brands of cottage cheese, they really do differ. I used to swear by Friendship because that's what I grew up eating. And I like Friendship 4% in the blue container. I guess it's still blue. I think they did change the container, but I think it's still blue. And they have a lower fat version. And then they have one called Pot Cheese, which is a large curd cottage cheese. But for that kind of product, I prefer the Axelrod. But there are so many different cottage cheeses and different tastes. So I grew, as I said, grew up eating cottage cheese, but I had a laugh when I looked online and to see that it would become a little trendy. People are touting the combination of fruit and cottage cheese. I'm sorry. My mother and all her friends, when they went on diets, that's what they ate. Do you remember this, Marshall?
That was yes, I absolutely do. I think that's why my grandmother introduced it to
fruit.
Me.
Except in those days, it was canned fruit. And I think you told me that you like the pineapple with cottage cheese. Who doesn't? You can actually buy. Oh, are you there, Marshall?
I'm here. Arthur, I'm here.
Are you there, Marshall?
Yes, I'm here, Arthur. Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello.
I'm here. I'm here, Arthur. Hello? Hey, Arthur.
What happened?
I know I was here. I could hear you. I could hear you, but for some reason you couldn't hear me.
No, I couldn't hear anything. It sounded like it was dead.
Yeah, no, I was saying, I'm here, Arthur, I'm here.
Yeah, but I asked you a question and you didn't respond. So that's when I realized you weren't there.
You asked me the question.
Where did we leave off, Marshall? Where did we leave
off? Basically, right when you asked me about if I like cottage cheese, and we started talking about pineapple.
No, I said you told me that you like pineapple.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I asked you. A brand? I don't know.
Oh, you started talking about it being a diet food, like that. And I responded at that point to saying, I think that's the way my grandmother introduced me to it.
Never heard you say that. Yeah, we said that off air, but not on air. Is there any way for you to play back and see where what was the last thing? I just would like to get
not
this
when
done.
We're not when we're hooked up, but why don't we pick it up?
I know I talked about how my mother and all her friends we're talking about the 1950s.
That's right. Why don't we pick it up when you talked about it being your mother used it as a diet.
You're right, it was diet food.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay, we can start now again. All right.
So as I said earlier, I was introduced to cottage cheese at an early age. But I also remember in the 1950s, probably beyond that, it was diet food to me, because my mother and her friends, when they were on diets, my mother was always on diet, would have for lunch, instead of something delicious like a grilled cheese sandwich, they would have cottage cheese, fooling themselves, by the way, this is a diet plate, cottage cheese surrounded by a lot of canned fruit. And, you know, all the canned fruit was just loaded with sugar. So it was delicious, I'm sure. You probably can still find that around, but I don't think anybody dare call it a diet plate anymore. And I'm not sure if you can get away with all canned fruit anymore. But to me, it's not a diet food anymore, because one of the things that really got me into rediscovering cottage cheese is noodles with butter and cottage cheese. Nothing dietetic about this. I mean, for my 3 ounces of egg noodles, I would use a tablespoon and a half-ish of butter. I always put the butter in the bowl first. As soon as the noodles are drained, I put them in the bowl so the butter starts melting instantly. You toss the noodles with the butter, and then put in as many big spoonfuls of cottage cheese as you like. I like several. It doesn't matter that the noodles are going to get a little cold. I don't care. They'll still be warm enough. And I love my large curd cottage cheese for this. Of course, in a pinch, I would do it with small curd cottage cheese. And even with low-fat cottage cheese, and I'd add my own fat, maybe a little bit more butter. But it's very rich, and it's not all that fat. Anyway, it always, you know, it's sort of like, for me, a Jewish boy, with Eastern European food background, me, it's always like, when you take things apart. Anyway, like a noodle kugel, except that it's not baked into a kugel, into a baked pudding, into a firm thing. But that said, I am aching to make my friend Michael Bateman's mother's kugel, her dairy kugel with cottage cheese. I make my grandmother's savory kugel with cottage cheese. But believe me, cottage cheese is the least of it. My grandmother's is a hefty amount of sour cream as well. But this one always intrigued me. And it's a very 1940s, 1950s kind of recipe. The crunch on top is from cornflakes. This was a big deal in the Ashkenazi Jewish community when I was growing up, a kugel with cornflakes on top. But what Anne did, Anne Whiteman, Michael's mother, she made a custard in a food processor. Modern woman, she had a food processor, a blender. And in the blender, she put 6 eggs, cup and a half of cottage cheese. Now, in my recipe, which appears in my book, Arthur Schwartz's Jewish Cooking, I say small or large curd, or even what they call California style, which is a particularly fine curd, creamy style of cottage cheese. You'll see cottage cheese marked California style, not so much as you used to. It doesn't matter here. I do want you to use full fat cheese, but it doesn't matter which curd you use because you're going to blend it and make a custard. Add to that 1 cup of sour cream, a 3/4 of a cup of sugar. Remember, this is a sweet kugel. Most people, when they think of noodle kugel, they think of a sweet kugel. Maybe one of the few who think of salt and pepper, only seasoning you put in butter. Anyway, and 2 1/4 cups of whole milk, and whirl that in the blender. And then to that, add 3/4 of a cup of raisins. If you like raisins, I do. At least 4 tablespoons, if not 6 tablespoons, of melted butter. And here comes some flavoring. 2 1/4 teaspoons of vanilla. Teaspoon of grated orange rind, if you have an orange in the house. Teaspoon of grated lemon rind, if you have a lemon in the house. And for this amount of custard base, I'm going to call it, you need 18 ounces of noodles, wide egg noodles. That's not going to be an even amount. Bags these days come in 12 ounces. So we're talking about a bag and a half. It's funny because my original recipe from my grandmother, which I have handwritten, hers was a savory pudding, but what it was a pound of noodles, one package. And they've shrunk the amount of noodles that come in a package of egg noodles. Anyway, so you cook your egg noodles. They can be a little firm, only a little firm. And you mix them in to the custard base, which you whirled in the blender with all the other, mainly is vanilla. If you have the lemon and orange, use it. Pour that into a buttered 9 by 13 inch pan. You have a preheated 350-degree oven. And then you want to mix together your topping. Now, it's a nice topping of a cup of crushed cornflakes. I put them in a plastic bag and just crush them, you know, with my hand. They're easy to crush. They don't have to be a powder. And then mix that cup of coarsely crushed cornflakes with 2 tablespoons of butter and 2 teaspoons of cinnamon. And put that on top of your noodle mixture and bake at 350 degrees for, I figured, 40 minutes, 35 minutes. Take a look. You don't want your topping to burn, but it's going to take at least 35 minutes. And then you don't want to serve it exactly out of the oven. You should let it stand minimum 10 minutes, I think even 20 minutes to a half an hour. So if you're serving this to a bunch of people, and it does make a lot. I don't know, you know, 10. It's for a family occasion. In fact, Michael's mother called this birthday kugel because she only made it for birthday gatherings, apparently. But it's very good, sweet kugel. Not my family kind of kugel, but the women. I've made this many times. What I love about it is that you're whirling everything in the blender. And it comes out this really delicious custard, you know, with noodles embedded in it. So my grandmother's was savory, and it contained almost more sour cream than anything, and a lot of eggs. And I could make just a make-do kugel, too. You know, you could just take some, cook up some noodles, toss them with some butter, toss them with the cottage cheese, and then either pour over some beaten egg, or you can mix the cottage cheese with egg and then stir it into the noodles and just stick it in a 350-degree oven until it firms up. And by the way, noodle kugel is very good at room temperature. So, I don't know, cottage cheese. Oh, so another thing, one of my friends told me the other day when I was asking about cottage cheese, she says she makes just cottage cheese with Maldon salt, that flaky salt, and freshly ground pepper, and that's all she wants, except sometimes add a vegetable, which reminded me, there used to be a dish in the Jewish dairy restaurant, meaning restaurants that did not serve meat. They only served fish, vegetables. It was good for vegetarians. They did have vegetarian things even way back when, 1920s and 30s. But anyway, she there was something called farmer's caviar. And farmer's caviar, which I have been known to make in the summer as dinner, is diced up vegetables, tomato, cucumber, radish, scallions, truthfully, any cooked vegetable too, but those are the basic ones for me, mixed with cottage cheese. You want to put a little bit of sour cream in there too, you could do that, but I don't even need it. I'm just happy that way. And then, of course, good coarse salt, freshly ground pepper. That is farmer's caviar. The other thing, I just eat cottage cheese on it. And if it's for breakfast, I might indulge in a couple of little specks of jam. And my favorite jam of the day, or the actually of the year, least a year, is sour cherry. It's all over the place now. That's another thing you're going to see. It's going to be trendy any minute because now it's available. And I just read an Italian friend saying it's almost his favorite food, is sour cherry jam. Bisciole in Italian, sour cherries. And it's interesting, I make a liqueur with sour cherry leaves, meaning the leaves of the tree. Actually, Marshall, I get farmer up your way. And you steep the leaves in red wine, and believe it or not, it's sort of like magic, a sour cherry flavored liqueur. But I'm seeing now in quite a few stores, sour cherry preserves that are coming from Croatia, and they're not inexpensive, but they're well worth the whatever it is, $6 I'm paying for. So anyway,
So, can I
cottage
ask?
cheese was made for
Let
that.
me ask you something about cottage cheese. My grandmother taught me how to make a poor man's lasagna, replacing the ricotta cheese with cottage cheese.
I was going to say, Marshall, we Americans somehow we put more I can't find the words, but ricotta, is related but totally different really than cottage cheese. And we have a whole, sort of worship of ricotta, whereas people stick their nose up in the air to cottage cheese. And in fact, if you I would not use the large curd that I use, but if you use the fine curd or California style cottage cheese instead of ricotta, it's going to be delicious. You could, for instance, make you want to call them cannelloni or manicotti, a filled tube, and instead of filling the tube with ricotta and seasonings, you fill it with cottage cheese and seasoning. And if you have large curd like I do, you can actually press it through a sieve and make it small curd and creamier. So yeah, I agree. Connoisseurship is the word I was going to use. They don't apply connoisseurship to things that are in their midst. For instance, I get annoyed with other Jewish people when they disparage Jewish cooking. And I have to point out that, in fact, there's some very fine and fine cuisine things in our Jewish heritage, Eastern European, I'm talking. But these days, by the way, that's total in it's more Sephardic cooking, Mediterranean cooking, that kosher Jews look to. But in fact, we have a lot of good things in Eastern European. Cottage cheese is one of them. As I said, it's a myth, I'm sure. But I grew up thinking that every shtetl, every little village, had a cow in the backyard, in every backyard.
It's funny. I used to make my cottage cheese lasagna and not tell friends that it was cottage cheese.
And they wouldn't know.
They didn't know at all.
No, of course not. And you use tomato sauce, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's funny because I always say, you know, when making tomato sauce, when I teach tomato sauce, I say, don't brown the onions. Because if you do, then it's a Jewish tomato sauce. Not an Italian tomato sauce if you leave the onions blonde. Different flavor. But, you know, Eastern European Jews did not have a lot to eat. And onions definitely were a main flavoring. And we ate them. I say we ate them. We is me. I'm half from that part of the world, at least. Depends on when you ask my grandmother, which my paternal grandmother, depending on the day you asked her, whether she was from Hungary, Poland, or I was mainly Hungary or Poland. But, you know, it was all one big place back then. I have to keep pointing it out to people that, you know, Poland was not. Here's an example. I think I may have mentioned this. My maternal grandfather was from Belarus, and my maternal grandmother was generations away from Belarus, but still, that family was from Belarus too. And my grandmother always used this fork and spoon that she claimed was her mother's fork and spoon from the old country. And yeah, I took that as, okay, that's great. I'm treasuring it. I'm using it the way my grandmother did to prevent my potatoes from burning because of the tartrates on the surface of the spoon. But just recently, Bob encouraged me to look up the company that was, in fact, embossed on the back of the spoon. Ends up, it's in Poland. It's still there. It's like 200-year-old company. And it's still in Poland. Now, I'm not sure it is Poland anymore. But when my great-grandmother brought these over, she brought these over with her from Belarus. So, you know, Belarus was not a country then.
Well, yeah, it's like I said, my grandmother had that Hungarian root, which I, when I hear you talk about these countries, I put Hungary in with those countries.
Yeah. You know, it was the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, so it and the borders were not defined the way they are today. Right. In any way, that part of the world, the cooking varies, but it's of a piece as well. Right. Cottage cheese was a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Cottage cheese.
We just talked to her for 26 minutes about it.
Exactly. Who knew I could talk that long about cottage cheese? So I'm not judgmental. Any brand that you like is fine with me. But if you do see Axelrod Large Curd, I urge you to at least try it. It's so delicious. And I just eat it a bite with a spoon.
I love our conversations because I tell you what, they always bring back memories of my grandmother and her sisters and their cooking.
Oh, well, what it brings back to me is cravings. So I better go cook something because I'm craving now.
All right.
Take care.
Okay, Arthur, have a good weekend.
You too.
Take care.